G'day from Down Under. This is Jeff Zhang from GZPix, and you're listening to the Petapixel Photography Podcast with your host, the great white Sharky James.
This episode is sponsored by our friends at FreshBooks. The weather is better, and if you're a freelance photographer or a small business owner, you'd much rather be out in it shooting rather than dealing with paperwork, right? And that's where the cloud-based accounting software from FreshBooks comes in. To sign up for your 30-day free trial, go to freshbooks.com/petapixel and enter petapixel in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Thank you, FreshBooks, for your support. Welcome to the Petapixel Photography Podcast, episode 67. Zach Arias shows how to do human properly. In this episode, Zach Arias creates change in Morocco. Did Calvin Klein steal a photographer's concept? Optical zoom appears to be coming to the iPhone. A new multi-use tripod thingy is announced. How to shoot like a National Geographic photographer. And a drone that may have actually been something else entirely. All that and more in episode 67 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. Thank you so much, Jeff, for opening the show. I greatly appreciate it, brother. Like many of you, Sydney, Australia-based Jeff Zhang, a fellow listener of this podcast, took the plunge and went all in on doing photography full-time. He left a perfectly good engineering job last December. He says partly due to his grandpa's declining health as he battles stage 4 lung cancer and also his lack of fulfillment as an engineer. He's helping care for his grandparents, is an all-around great guy, and as of last week, got engaged, so he'll be needing some photography himself soon, huh? If you'd like to check out his work, hit his Instagram account, and that's GZEEPIX. He's got some very nice work over there, so maybe head on over, check out his photography, and congratulate him on his engagement. That would be nice. And I'd like to thank you all for joining us here in episode 67 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. We appreciate you all so much, and thank you all for subscribing, rating, and reviewing us in iTunes or wherever else you listen to us. And as always, we appreciate you telling your friends on social media and elsewhere and helping to get the word out about this show. Also, thank you so much for the kind words regarding my co-hosting of This Week in Photo. If you haven't seen it yet, hit thisweekinphoto.com. Look for episode 461. We had a great time. I think it's a lot of fun to watch. If you can't watch it, definitely give the podcast a listen. Okay, with that, I'm your host, Sharky James. Let's hit it. You likely all know the name Zach Arias by now. If not, you need to check out his work. He's awesome. Not only that, it's his approach. And you can tell that this guy has a big heart and wants the best for everyone. You just can. He's very zen like that. So I wasn't at all surprised when I heard about this next story. You see, Zach Arias is one of those exceptional human beings that just gets it. He really does. You know, it's not about him. He's just the vehicle. He's established a name for himself in the industry, and with that, he can affect some change. You can make the world that much better for trying, you know? So Fujifilm hired Arias to create a promotional video about their products, and rather than doing what you've seen many times before with the standard behind the scenes of a shoot or a gear review, he took things to a whole new level, went to Morocco, and did some good instead. For this trip, he teamed up with the folks over at Focal Change, an organization that partners with visual artists and emerging nonprofits and NGOs, that's non-governmental organizations, of course, who need compelling photos and video to help with their goals, raise money for their causes, etc. So they traveled to Morocco, where Arias and his friend Andre from Focal Change teamed up to see if they could use their skills to raise the money needed for a small fleet of school buses. Now the rest of us take it for granted, but in some areas of Morocco and elsewhere around the world, whether or not you have access to transportation determines whether or not you get an education. Now think about that for a second. The children over there in the smaller villages may not advance past the fifth grade just because of where they live. So here was an opportunity to use visual storytelling to do some good in the world, and that's what they've done. The duo traveled from village to village across 4 days and documented what life is like for these Moroccan school children in need. Throughout the 7-minute video produced for this project, Arias tells the story of these children and along the way explains how his Fujifilm gear performed. Personally, I think it's an enjoyable video to watch, and I think it's awesome that Arius used this opportunity to showcase the gear in a way that can actually do some good. But I'm not at all surprised, because Zach is a great guy. Now, if you'd like to see this video and learn more about this project, head on over to the show notes for episode 67 at petapixel.com/podcast, where we'll have all that over there for you. And this video brings up a point that we've talked about here on the show before, and that is giving your photography meaning. So many people lose interest in shooting because they shoot the same things over and over again, and they're the only ones that are seeing these photos when there are opportunities out there to use your photography to do good. The example I always give is donating your skills to photographing cats and dogs at your local animal shelter, but it doesn't necessarily have to be that. My friend Justin Roskowski of Justin Takes Photos in the suburbs of St. Louis does this, and I know quite a few others that do it as well. It's a great way to give back with your photography, and I think that's always a good thing to do. So if you think about it, there are a number of ways that you can do good with your photography. I'm sure there's probably tons and tons of examples online that you can find. And you don't necessarily have to travel across the world to Morocco to get it done either. So look in your backyard, not literally, and be the change wherever you are. Next. Many of us, myself included, are using our smartphones more and more to do photography because, hey, it's the camera you've always got with you, right? And they become so darn good that they're often acceptable enough to get the job done. So if you're going to use your smartphone, you might as well have a stable stand for it. And that's where this new device called MonoShot comes in. It's a lot more versatile than a selfie stick, but not as big and bulky as your standard tripod. What it is actually quite a few devices in one. From a tripod that can get as low as 17 inches, all the way on up to 6 feet off the ground. It's made of aircraft-grade aluminum, weighs in at just 1.9 pounds, that's 0.9 kilograms, and collapses down to just 19.5 inches. It has a spring-loaded universal smartphone mount that's large enough to hold an iPhone 6 Plus with a case, because no one's taking their phones out of their cases, right? And there's a standard 1/4-20 tripod screw for mounting other cameras, should you wish to do that. That said, think compact cameras here like the Sony RX100 Mark IV, not a DSLR. I don't know if I'd recommend putting a large camera atop one of these. Now, if you need to use this as a monopod, you can. There's a custom spike attachment which allows you to stake it into the ground and gives you a more steady platform from which to shoot. And yes, I think you see where this is going. You can also use the MonoShot as a selfie stick. Because why not? Bluetooth, remote trigger, and all. In ideal conditions, you can actually use that trigger from up to 45 feet away. So that's pretty cool. Now, if this sounds like something you must have, it's available right now on the company's website at monoshot.co for $59 US with free shipping in the United States. Will I be getting one of these? Probably not. But it might be right for you. Next. So what do you do when there's a major ad campaign like Calvin Klein and they use photos that look a whole lot like your work? Well, if you have money, you litigate, of course. Now, if you don't have money to do that, you take to social media and hope for the best. And that's what photographer Jack Hawkins did recently after noticing that a recent campaign by the clothing giant was suspiciously reminiscent of photos for which he's known for. He says that a couple of months ago, he began getting messages from friends and fans who let him know that the company's My Calvin's campaign used photos which were awfully similar to his. Both works feature a model lying atop a sea of denim jeans and other clothing and is shot from directly overhead. Now, this is definitely one you're going to want to hit the show notes for so you can compare for yourself. Hawkins tried contacting the photographer and Calvin Klein, but feels like he was brushed off and ignored, so he contacted some intellectual property attorneys. They say he has a case as the image holds more than a 90% resemblance to his, and his original image and its test image were shared around the world by Levi's, and he's claiming there's no way that Calvin Klein couldn't have seen that at some point. But how do you prove that, though? I mean, that's a tough one. There's always going to be similar images out there, and a model lying atop a pile of, you know, insert whatever here has been done before, right? In fact, I did a Google Images search on his photo and found a slew of photos out there that are shot overhead with models on denim jeans, one of which seems to go back even further than his work and is available on Shutterstock. So who knows how specific it has to be to win a case like this? I suspect that that sort of thing is up to a judge to decide, and it really could go either way. I mean, it could be money not very well spent if you decided to sue. But if you look at the image in the ad campaign and those that Hawkins shot, they're similar enough that I think I would have thought that he was somehow involved. So maybe that's the test. I don't know. Honestly, though, his images are better. His photography in general is exceptional. I mean, he's incredible. Do your eyes a favor and check out his work at jackhawkinsphoto.com. If any good comes out of this, it'll be that people see what truly beautiful photography looks like, and that's his. The downside, though, as he points out in his blog post on this matter, is that with the sheer reach of a global brand like Calvin Klein, people are going to assume that he's copying them rather than the other way around, if that's what happened, of course. I mean, it's entirely possible that they came up with this concept on their own. It could have happened. So in that post on his website, Hawkins said, quote, "To be clear, I'm not pointing fingers or placing blame here, because it's hard to know what happened. Who knows, this could have been a mood board from an agency, or in the notepad of a Calvin Klein creative, or in the photographer's inspiration folder. But either way, it feels crappy to have hard work and passion taken away from you and shamelessly credited to someone else. This was, for me, an image that marked a certain point in my career, and more importantly, in my work. It showed me what I could achieve if I took the ideas in my head and just ran with them fearlessly. When something like this happens, it beats you down as a creative." End quote. Now, he ends by saying that he won't be taking legal action due to the great cost to litigate something like this, and I think that's probably the best way to go here. This concept has been done before, and while his and theirs are eerily similar, it's likely to be an uphill battle. The route that he chose by making this blog post got it out there, stated his case for the record, and like I said, as a result, a whole lot of people are now going to know who Jack Hawkins is. And that's a good thing, because we should know. His photography is exceptional, like I said, and you've definitely got to check it out. Next. As we always say here on the podcast, thanks to the amazing technology available to us, sharing our photos is so easy. And so is running your business if you use FreshBooks. Whether you make your money with photography or you have another small business, you'd rather be shooting and editing your photos than dealing with paperwork, right? I know I would. Well, FreshBooks solves this problem by making it incredibly fast and easy. Their amazingly simple cloud-based invoicing solution keeps your cash flow details all in one place so you know exactly who you've invoiced, who's paid, who hasn't, and what your income is. And their FreshBooks mobile app is awesome. It lets you take pics of your receipt and organize them later so you have them all ready to go come tax time. Do yourself a favor and check out FreshBooks. You'll be more prepared, less stressed, and you can get back to enjoying your life and doing what you love most. Amazingly, on average, FreshBooks users get paid a full 2 weeks faster when accepting online payments. They cut 2 days a month of administrative tasks, and they double the revenue in the first 24 months. More time shooting means more time to make money rather than shuffling papers. And right now, FreshBooks is offering a free 30-day trial to our listeners. Just go to freshbooks.com/petapixel and enter petapixel in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Thank you so much, FreshBooks. I think we'd all agree that photos in National Geographic are top-notch. If you manage to get a photo in there, you've definitely arrived. For the rest of us, though, perhaps there's something that we can do to get closer to something that kind of, sort of, maybe, if you squint really hard, looks on a good day like it could make the cut. Well, with that in mind, renowned travel photographer Bob Holmes has some ideas on how you can shoot what he calls National Geographic-style photos. He says it's a style that he prefers and it makes use of strong color and is quite graphically appealing. And he knows what he's talking about too, because he's been published in National Geographic and has won Travel Photographer of the Year 4 times. In the 9-minute video created in collaboration with Advancing Your Photography, he gives quite a few tips that can help your photography achieve that National Geographic style, or at least something closer to it than we're doing now, perhaps. Among the tips given by Holmes are, know your camera equipment inside and out so the camera doesn't get in your way. And that makes a lot of sense, of course. You don't want to be fiddling with settings when an image presents itself to you. He says that you can benefit greatly from developing and educating your eye through other visual media, and he does that by studying paintings from the 20th century. When shooting, he says, look for and capture a punctuation point, a critical detail that puts the image in proper context. He also favors looking for strong colors in geometry, and if you can combine the two, even better. Now, he likes using rules of photography like the rule of thirds and the golden mean, etc. But while they can produce technically pleasing photographs, he says that they can often be boring. So try to, quote, inject some excitement and interest in your photographs, end quote. Now, this one should go without saying, but a lot of people forget about it. Be aware of what's in the entire frame. If there's something that shouldn't be there, that's on you. So if you've got a telephone pole coming out of someone's head, you could have moved a couple feet or so and made sure that didn't happen, right? Now, what he describes is a very zen-like way of shooting. Give your subject 100% of your attention and become fully involved with them. You need to be in tune with what they're doing and what they're about if you're going to make a photograph that really captures their essence and has impact. And the point where I think many people give up due to frustration, putting in the time to get the right shot. Of this, Holmes says, quote, you spend a long time just hanging around, waiting for the perfect shot, end quote. And that's very true. A lot of people happen upon a scene and think, well, this would look nice if only I waited about an hour or so, but I don't have that kind of time. And you could have made an incredible image if you just waited one more hour. But hey, this is the difference oftentimes between a photographer and someone who just takes snapshots. This nearly 10-minute video is definitely worth watching, and I think everyone is going to get at least something out of the great wisdom coming out of Bob Holmes here. To check that out, hit the show notes for episode 67 at petapixel.com/podcast. I think it's definitely worth the 10 minutes to watch it. Now, whether or not we're going to shoot anywhere near as well as Bob Holmes is another matter. But hey, we can all use a little help, right? And that's what I love about photography. You're never done learning. There's always room for improvement. That's what drives me. Next. One thing that I think every photographer would love to see in their smartphone is optical zoom, as digital zoom is completely useless. Blowing up pixels is pointless, but being able to truly zoom as we do with our lenses by changing the distance between elements, that's magic right there. But you've got space limitations in smartphones, of course. However, it can be done, and it appears that Apple, shocker, right, has its sights on making optical zoom in the iPhone an actual reality. And that makes a lot of sense, of course. You know, I think we all knew that this is where things were headed, and a recently filed patent by the company bears that out. In the patent uncovered by Apple Insider, the diagram shows what Apple is referring to as a, quote, folded telephoto camera lens system, end quote. It's particularly interesting because the design is very periscope-like. I wouldn't have thought that they would have done a design like that, but you know what? That's probably what's needed to keep the phone becoming unnecessarily thicker than it already is, which actually isn't too bad. But honestly, they're thin enough as it is, don't you think? I mean, they've gotten pretty darn thin. And I at all wouldn't mind if the iPhone got a little bit thicker, if that meant having a better camera system in it. But maybe that's just me. You know, the masses would throw a tizzy fit if the phone got any thicker than it is right now. Smartphones, of course, will never replace actual cameras for most photography. You're not going to shoot sports with them anytime soon. But so long as we have them on us and we're going to use them, which all of us do, it's nice to see that these things are being worked on. And I wouldn't at all be surprised if we see a series of lenses in future smartphones. I mean, there's no reason why they couldn't have additional camera modules in there for specific purposes, so long as it didn't add to the cost and didn't add to the bulk of the smartphone. Now, if we can get this optical zooming camera in the iPhone 7 Plus in time for my upgrade come November, I'm going to be a happy camper because I very much want optical zoom in my next phone. Next phone. All right, that doesn't work. Way back in episode 66, which was last episode, we told you about a British Airways Airbus A320, which had hit a camera drone as it was on its approach to London's Heathrow Airport. Well, they're now saying that it was, quote, a plastic bag or something, end quote. Okay, that is quite a difference, of course. A bag and a camera drone, not exactly the same thing. Not even close. Now, according to Robert Goodwill, the UK's Minister of State for Transportation, there may have been an error in communication and reporting while speaking to the House of Lords. He says, quote, "The reported drone strike on Sunday has not confirmed it was an actual drone. It was the local police force that tweeted that they had a report of a drone striking an aircraft. There is indeed some speculation that it may have been a plastic bag or something," end quote. Now, the pilot thought he hit a drone, but his aircraft was flying at 160 knots, also known as 184 miles per hour. So he didn't exactly get a really good look at it. It came upon him quickly. Now, what I'd like to know is, would a plastic bag, even at that speed, cause any noise when it hit the windshield? I mean, certainly it wasn't going to cause any damage. Now, if a drone had hit, there'd be evidence of impact damage to the plane. But by all reports, there were none. So it would appear that this plane is likely to not have hit a drone. I mean, who knows what actually hit it? It could very well have been a plastic bag. As we know, wind can kick up a bag hundreds of feet into the air, so it's not unreasonable that this was a plastic bag. And if it comes upon your airplane quickly like that, you may or may not mistake it for a drone. I mean, you get a split second look at it. Okay, so chances are this was not a camera drone, but at some point, a drone is going to impact with an aircraft, and who knows what kind of damage that's going to do. No one really knows for sure as of yet because they haven't exactly tested this out. And I'm not at all looking forward to the day when I have to report that some fool killed a couple of hundred people because he was flying too close to an airport. That is going to be a really, really dark day for that person and all those involved. I'd like to thank you all for listening to episode 67 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. Don't forget to check us out at petapixel.com/podcast for the show notes and to see what else we have for you. If you head on over there, you can leave us a voicemail question that we can answer here on the show. Or if you don't feel comfortable leaving a voicemail, feel free to email me at lensshark@gmail.com. And if you'd like to connect with me personally, and I hope you do, hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook where I'm Lensshark. That's LENSSHARK. And don't forget, if you'd like to help support this show and you could use the product, head on over to freshbooks.com/petapixel and enter petapixel in the How Did You Hear About Us section. They've got a 30-day free trial for you, and I think you should check it out. All right, with that, I'll see you all in episode 68. Well, it's f8 and 250th of a second outside. It's time to shoot.
Please subscribe to the Petapixel Photography Podcast. My daddy is the host.